Okay, our friends. How about a fairy tale? Or in this case, an elf tale? No fairies, but there are elves. Today's story.
It's not a fairy tale.
Nope. It's an elf tale.
No, it's not an elf tale.
Oh?
It's a bunny tale.
A bunny tale.
It's a fluffy tale.
That's not the same thing.
It's a puppy tale.
Or a kitty tale.
It's a kitty tale.
I think it's just an elf tale.
It's a creeper.
But what kind of elf, right? A Keebler elf? No. A Christmas elf? No. Wait until you hear. Today's story is called The Elves and the Shoemaker. It's retold from the Brothers Grimm, and it's illustrated by Jim LaMarche, and I cannot wait to share it with you. Do you remember who the Brothers Grimm were? They were fairy tale writers, and they wrote like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. They wrote a whole bunch of old-fashioned fairy tales. And this is one of the best. So, buckle up, you guys. Today's story is read by Mommy and what do you call yourself?
My name is
The End.
The end.
All right, well, then when I point to you, will you say your name at the very, when it's time?
Uh-huh.
All right, okay.
The end.
Not yet.
I'm just practicing.
Thanks. Are you ready?
Yeah, just practice.
There was once a good shoemaker who, through a spell of bad luck, had become very poor. Finally, he had just enough leather to make one last pair of shoes.
"Still, it's a fine piece of leather," said his wife, "as soft as butter, yet as strong as your hands."
"Tonight, dear wife, I will cut the leather," said the shoemaker, "and first thing in the morning I will sew the shoes."
The next morning, when the couple went into the workshop, they were flabbergasted by what they found. Flabbergasted. That's a $10 word. What do you think it means?
Surprised.
Surprised. Shocked. Astounded. Mm-hmm.
What the heck?
There. Oh, yeah. There on the work table stood two shoes perfectly finished, and not a stitch out of place.
But who, how?
Sputtered the shoemaker. His wife could only stare. Just then, a dandy gentleman came into the shop.
"What magnificent shoes, please. I must try them on," he said.
The shoes fit perfectly, as if they had been made just for him. He was so pleased that he paid double the price. Now the shoemaker had enough money to buy leather for two more pairs of shoes. Again that evening, the shoemaker cut the leather for the shoes and went to bed. And once again in the morning, there were the shoes finished. Buyers were not lacking for these either. And as before, they were so pleased they paid double the price. And now the shoemaker had enough money to buy leather for four more pairs of shoes. The next morning, just as before, there were the shoes already made. On and on it went. Whatever the shoemaker cut out in the evening was finished by morning, and soon the news of the splendid shoes spread throughout the town, and the shoemaker and his wife were no longer poor. One evening, not long before Christmas, as the shoemaker cut more leather for shoes, his wife
spoke. Dear husband, who has made us so rich? What if we were to stay up tonight and see who comes into our shop?
The shoemaker agreed. So that night, they lit a small lamp in the hall, hid behind their coats, and waited. As the clock struck midnight, they heard a creak of a window and the scuttle of small feet. Peeking out from behind the coats, they saw two tiny children sneak into the workshop. They were poorly shod and wore only raggedy sacks for warmth. What does that mean? They were poorly shod. That's a
closed with poor things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They were so to be shod means that you have shoes on your feet. Okay. So they didn't have good shoes on their feet, and they wore only raggedy sacks, which meant that their clothing didn't fit them well and was worn. It was had holes in it and things of that nature.
Elves,
the shoemaker's wife whispered. The tiny elves tiptoed across the room and climbed up onto the table. They weren't children after all, were they? In the picture we can see that they are in fact elves. They've got very pointy ears. Then, humming and whistling, they began to stitch and sew and hammer so quickly with their little fingers that the shoemaker and his wife could not believe their eyes. And I think I would be really impressed if I saw them doing that, wouldn't you? In the picture, we can see them sewing and hammering. It's impressive. The elves did not stop until all the shoes were finished and stood lined up on the table. Sturdy riding boots, delicate slippers, feather-light dancing shoes, and heavy clogs for work. And then the elves tiptoed out of the workshop, up the stairs, and out the window. The next morning, the wife said,
"The little elves must have made us rich. We must give them something in return. They run around with so little on, they must be freezing. I will make a warm dress, coat, and pants, and knit them each a pair of stockings."
"And I will be happy to make them each a pair of fine shoes," said the shoemaker, and they went right to work.
And that evening they laid the presents on the work table, and then, like before, they hid behind the coats and waited. At midnight, the elves quietly slipped into the shop ready for another night's work, but instead of pieces of leather, they found the beautiful presents. At first, they were too astonished to move. Astonished. That's another good word, like flabbergasted, right? Surprised, shocked.
Astonished and flabbergasted.
Mm-hmm. They're synonyms.
Famished.
No, famished means hungry. Anyways. They were too astonished to move. Then they hugged their new warm clothes and quickly put them on. And when they were dressed, they leaped and bounced around the room, singing,
"Now we're elves so fine to see, no cobblers we will be."
They jumped over chairs and raced around the shop and finally ran out the door. The click and clack of their new shoes echoed through the streets. And from that time on, the little elves were not seen again, but the shoemaker and his wife lived a long and happy life. And that, my friends, is end.
If you like the show, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. It really does help the show to grow. Thank you for listening.